What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Lakers Outsiders podcast. I am Gary Kester. I am joined today by Jacob Rude. We are here to discuss the Lakers getting back-to-back wins for the first time this season. They get their first home win with a big win over the now 4-1 Denver Nuggets. They were the 4-0 Denver Nuggets coming into today. Jacob, you got to tweet the game today. I mean, how much fun did you have? I mean, I didn't get to see the whole game. I got to see all the fun stuff in the fourth quarter there, but that had to be a fun game to tweet.
I'll start off by saying it's really interesting that the Lakers are 2-0 when you and I tweet, and 0-3 when Hani tweets, and now suddenly he's ducking us.
Weird how that works, man.
I also don't want to take all of the credit, but we were playing pretty bad in the first half, and I went and made some cookies, and then we played really well in the second half, so I don't really think that's a coincidence. So if you guys would like to donate to the Jacob Makes Cookies Before Every Game Fund, just hit me up on Twitter. But yeah, overall, that second half was a lot of fun. That fourth quarter was a lot of fun. It looked pretty dire there. About midway through, they fell behind by 8. I can't remember. Somebody, I think, hit a 3. And Monty Morris, of all people, hit a 3. And I got a little worried, but Lance made him dance, and then everybody else kind of took over. And, man, that was a fun finish. It's really fun to beat the Nuggets. I never realized how much of a rivalry it was, but it's really fun to beat the Nuggets.
Lance Stephenson, the closer. Something I never thought I'd think or say coming into the season. But, man, the last two games he has been fantastic. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Before we get going here, or we'll really dive in, as always, if you like the Lakers Outsiders podcast, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and on YouTube and on Podbean even. You can subscribe to us on all three platforms there. If you subscribe to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. Give us feedback on what you like, what you don't like, how we can get better. We always appreciate the feedback. And as Jacob alluded to earlier, we are both 1-0, or the Lakers are 1-0 each time we tweet so far. So 2-0 total, 0-3 when Hani tweets. So it's not looking good for Hani so far. But we will be holding a punishment for the member that has the worst record tweeting during the games. And we are taking suggestions on what that punishment should be. Leave it in an iTunes review and we will take note of it. And it'll go in. We'll take it under consideration for the end of the year. So like I said,
if you want Gary and I to keep tweeting, be sure to at us at Lakers Outsiders and tell us how bad Hani is.
Do that. And put that in an iTunes review. Just, you know, Hani sucks.
Let Jacob slander Hani as much as possible is what we're getting at.
pretty much. All right. Well, with that being said, let's talk about the game. The Lakers get a big win. I mean, to me, this is like their first signature win with this group. Mm-hmm. You know, they beat the Suns last night, Wednesday night. And that was a convincing win. That was a dominating win. I mean, really almost from start to finish. And that was great to see, but this was a good Denver Nuggets team that they beat. Granted, it was at home, and spare me your LA nightlife excuse. It was a Wednesday night. I doubt the Nuggets were going too crazy on a Wednesday night. You never know, but
they have a bunch of young guys. I don't even know if they can all go to the club.
Right. But anyways, the Lakers were on the second night of a back-to-back, and they were the team that finished strong. You know, they were the team that took control in the last 6 minutes of the game when you would think the team that played the night before would kind of run out of gas. And they put their pedal to the metal. They went small ball to close the game, and man, did it work. It worked beautifully. Jacob, I mean, what was your takeaway? I mean, let's just dive straight into the fourth quarter, because that's when the game got real tight and the Lakers executed and got it done. What was your main takeaway and really your favorite thing about the fourth quarter that the Lakers put forth tonight?
I mean, there were a couple things. We mentioned Lance. We've got the two best versions of Lance possible in these last two games. And I think tonight was more of what I thought Lance would be for this team, as opposed to his 25-8-8 last night. I didn't even think that was coming. Tonight, though, was that stretch in the fourth where we're down 8. The team looked like tired, dead. They looked like they were on the second night of a back-to-back, ready to give up. And then Lance hits back-to-back threes that forces a timeout, and then comes right out of the timeout and hits a layup. And then hits LeBron for that fast break dunk. And then just like that, we're in the lead. That's what I thought Lance would bring, just that kind of instant energy that, I mean, sometimes instant offense out of nowhere. So I think that, I mean, I know we harped on him a lot last night, but I mean, tonight he was a part of the best lineup the Lakers had. That closing lineup of Lonzo, Lance, Hart, Kuzma, and LeBron was +8 in 3 minutes and 49 seconds.
That lineup really scrambled defensively. It was really impressive to see them, you know, scramble defensively and then gang rebound. I mean, that was impressive. And then that gets them out and running. And I mean, this team is so much fun when they're able to do that, you know. So,
and they're hard to stop when they're out and running, especially LeBron. He had must have been the third quarter. He had one play where he got out and running just full speed right at the rim. And it was like, good luck anybody even slowing that down. Like, he was just sprinting to the front of the rim. So, and that was before the dunk he had. I didn't think he was going to be able to slow down enough to dunk it off that Lance pass. I think the big thing was everybody in that lineup did something. I mean, LeBron was LeBron. Kuzma had a couple of nice cuts and finishes. Lonzo had 5 steals tonight. We talked about Lance, and then Hart, it was a little more quiet of a game from him. He didn't shoot as well, but he was still active defensively. He still drew some fouls, got to the line 6 times. So everybody contributed. That's kind of what we expected from a lot of these lineups, that they weren't going to be as – they didn't need LeBron to do everything as much as Cleveland's lineups always did. And we saw that in the fourth quarter tonight.
Yeah, we haven't even mentioned LeBron had his first triple-double as a member of the Lakers tonight. And it just almost seemed like, you know, it wasn't really much of a talking point because he got so much help elsewhere down the stretch. I mean, like you said, everybody kind of chipped in with that closing lineup and made plays. And it was just great to see. I mean, it was – what I thought was really interesting was the Lakers went – with their small ball lineup, right? You know, they went with basically LeBron at center, Kuz at the 4, then you had Lance, Hart, and Lonzo. The Nuggets didn't try to match that. They went with their basically, I think, their starting lineup. I mean, with their front court duo of Millsap and Jokic. And I think that really hurt them because they weren't able to execute in half court sets down the stretch, and the Lakers really just kind of scrambled. And like I said, they gang rebounded, and you know, the guards came down and helped out on the glass, and that helped them get out and run. And there, I mean, there was one play where they forced a turnover, and Kuzma basically just had Jokic in front of him, and he just blew right by him in the open court for a dunk that, I mean, was pretty much a dagger at that point. And I think it put him up 7. And I mean, that's, to me, that was just really interesting that the Nuggets didn't, because the Nuggets have a lot of speed on their roster. I mean, I think they've got a lot of versatility, and they can go mix and match a lot of different lineups, and they can kind of match the Lakers in that respect in terms of, you know, trying to play fast with them a little bit. You know, I don't know if anybody can run as well as the Lakers do, because I mean, they're amazing in transition with this roster.
I don't know that we've ever really seen a team that can play in transition like this.
Yeah, it's amazing. But I just thought it was really interesting that the Nuggets really didn't even try. You know, they went with their 2 bigs, and I think it hurt them. It hurt them in a big way. I mean, the Lakers got a number of key buckets in transition, just outrunning the Nuggets. You know, LeBron got behind all 5 Nuggets, and you know, Lance hit him with a beautiful pass for the dunk. Like I said, Kuzma outran everybody, on the dribble off the dribble. And I mean, that's the thing that was just baffling to me, that the Nuggets really didn't say, hey, we're getting outran by these guys. We got to match their speed a little bit and take away these transition opportunities and make them play a half court game, which the Nuggets were trying to do. They were trying to, you know, dump it down low to Jokic and Lonzo, man. I just want to talk about Lonzo for a minute. From what I had heard, because I, like I said, I wasn't able to watch the first half. He was kind of sleepwalking through the first half. But man, that fourth quarter, he was sensational. I mean, his hands defensively are just lightning quick. You know, I think there was a play where I want to say he got switched on to Jokic and he knocked the ball loose, I think, two or three times on the same possession. And, you know, one of them was a deflection on the rebound that I think the Lakers finally corralled. But his defense and his activity and his rebounding tonight, that especially down the stretch, that it was just phenomenal. You know, I was just watching him specifically and man, he was just flying around. He was, you know, active on the glass, helping out and securing the basketball so that they could get out and run and outrun the Nuggets with their, you know, with their big guys on the floor. And I mean, to me, that was the guy that stood out as kind of the prime performer down the stretch. I mean, Lance made big plays. I mean, they all made plays in their own right, but Lonzo, I thought, made just winning play after winning play, especially defensively. I think even one play, he had kind of a savvy move to draw a foul on Jokic when Jokic came out to screen him. I think he just kind of hooked his leg and tried to fight over it and drew the foul on Jokic. And Jokic wasn't very happy about it, but it was a pretty savvy play by Lonzo Ball. And he was superb. And we're going to talk about Lonzo a little bit more later on, but wow. I mean, that game was just so much fun. I mean, that was a lot more fun than the Suns game. The Suns game was great because they dominated, but it was the Suns and whatever. But I don't know what else to say. There were times where I literally stood up off my couch because I was so excited.
That Lonzo step back three, I jumped up out of my chair. I think the thing, going back to Lonzo real quick, I think the thing that kind of sparked him late in the first half, he had that real nice touch pass to LeBron for the dunk, and then picked up Jamal Murray full court, stripped him from behind, laid it in, mm-hmm. and that came real late in the first half, but that seemed kind of like a spark because the second half, man, that's the best he's looked all season, that second half, because he was so active defensively, digging down on guys, knocking balls loose. He dove for a loose ball at one point that led to Josh Hart drawing a foul. You mentioned he went, helped on the boards. The Lakers only got out-rebounded by two tonight, which is huge against that big line that Denver has. He had six rebounds tonight. He was the second leading rebounder on the team, or third, but still, he was huge. I'm always kind of watching Lonzo a little bit more than normal, but yeah, tonight, I mentioned it in the recap I wrote for Lonzo Ware, but that step back three was like the most he's looked like, kind of like UCLA Lonzo. Like he had this kind of swagger to him at UCLA, and I don't know how many times he's even really attempted that step back three, but he got Jokic switched onto him and just kind of, I mean, it looked like, I don't, UCLA fans might remember this, some other ones. He had that three against Oregon at home that he shot from like 35 feet.
Yeah,
where he kind of stepped back and buried a three and kind of had a swagger to him. When he hit that tonight, that was immediately what I thought of, so... but yeah, it was a really bad first half, and then it was probably his worst first half of the year and his best second half of the year. And he, I mean, we'll talk about it in a bit. He may have saved his starting job with that second half.
Yeah. Looking at some of the numbers, I mean, the team stats for this game, almost in a way, the formula looks kind of similar to what they did against the Suns yesterday. Three-pointers, they shot 10 of 29. I mean, it's not, you know, shooting the lights out, but for this team to be able to shoot even, you know, 34.5% from three, I think we'll get it done for them because they can get so many looks inside in the paint with all their playmakers that if they hit threes, I don't know how you guard this team if they're making threes, because if you have to go out to the perimeter with the way they can space the floor, and you know, with their small ball lineups, or with JaVale just kind of hovering around the basket with so many playmakers around him, they're just such a tough team to guard. And they made enough threes tonight. They shot well from the free throw line. They made 19 out of 23 free throws. So that's always important. We talked yesterday about not turning the ball over. The Lakers had 13 turnovers today. They had 8 yesterday. So 27 assists to 13 turnovers. Not as great as yesterday, but playing a higher quality team. But they, that's still solid. 13 steals. I mean, they're forcing turnovers. They're getting out and running. It's and like you mentioned, they didn't get crushed on the glass. That's going to be the key thing for this team, is just if they're even relatively even in rebounding, I think that's a huge development for them.
The second half tonight, they had 3 turnovers.
Yeah.
Which, like we said, the second half is where they kind of exploded. So, yeah, taking care of the ball, that was it was 3 turnovers, 10 assists, 7 steals. But, yeah, 34.5%. I think they'll take that every night if they could. They, like you said, they don't really – they don't need to shoot the lights out. It'd be awesome if they did. But just being, I think, average with how this team plays will be more than enough for them moving forward. And really, they shot 10 of 29, and it was LeBron missed 4 threes and Josh Hart missed 5. That was 11 of their 19 misses. It's guys that LeBron's had a pretty rough start from 3 to start the year, but it's guys that you would typically think would make threes that are missing. So, yeah, I think they'll take 10 of 29 every game going forward.
Yeah, LeBron is now 5 of 29 from the 3-point line so far. I did look that up and tweeted that out earlier, and I don't think
he attempted another 3.
Oh, we just got to get the crowd to start chanting Kobe, and apparently LeBron knocks down 3.
That's amazing. That's like Lakers fans, like in like a microcosm of Laker fans, like Staples Center is chanting Kobe while LeBron freaking James is on the court knocking down a 3-pointer. Like everything about that, I literally laughed out loud when that play happened.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. But yeah, I'm looking at the numbers here and just the balance for the Lakers. And speaking of 3-point shots, we talked about Lance Stephenson. The Lakers were down 106-98 with about 6 minutes to go. I think Monte Morris hit a 3 to put him up. And it looked like, to me, I was like, okay, this team just doesn't really have it tonight. They're kind of running out of gas, second night of a back-to-back. Lance hit back-to-back threes, I believe, that got it. I know he hit 2 threes down the stretch there, and I think they were back-to-back to get it to 106-104. And that kind of sparked the team and got them re-energized. And, I mean, Lance's dance moves – obviously,
thing he's a basketball player because he's not a great dancer.
Hey man, he keeps playing like this, he can dance however he wants. I'm not gonna complain. But yeah, I mean, the balance tonight, LeBron had 28 points, 11 boards, 11 assists, 3 steals, which is nice. And Kuzma had 22 points. JaVale had 21 points. Lonzo and Hart both had 12 points apiece. Lance had 12 points. So, I mean, they had balance. They had multiple or 5 guys in double or 6 guys in double figures. And yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, just guys just chipped in different ways.
And the defense, I think, was pretty strong tonight, too.
They got timely stops.
Yeah, especially in the fourth. Denver shot 50%, but it was 26% on threes. Josh Hart had an 89.2 defensive rating in 32 minutes, which is absurd. Lonzo had a 95.9 defensive rating in 33 minutes, and LeBron had a 98.7 in 34. So, the defense was just incredible. I tweeted it out this morning, but now through tonight's game, since Kuzma and Lonzo, and I guess Hart, have entered the starting lineup, really, so over the last 4 games, actually, let me change this real quick. The last 4 games, that foursome, yeah, there we go. So, yeah, LeBron, Lonzo, Kuzma, and Hart have played 62 minutes together, have a 109.4 offensive rating and a 12.2 net rating. They've been really, really good together.
And the thing I
showed tonight, too.
Yeah, the thing I like about those four is that you can – there's a lot of different like ways you can add a fifth to that lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can throw JaVale out there. You can put Brandon Ingram. You can probably put Rondo. You can put Lance. Like, you could do all these different combinations. And I think that's what I love most about this roster is that Luke probably – I mean, I don't know if he's either – he's either having like – a lot of fun trying to figure out all these lineup combinations that he can do, or it's like stressing him out that it's like, man, I've got too many options. How do I like utilize all this? And I feel like that's going to be somewhat of a dilemma with the starting lineup moving forward. And speaking of the starting lineup, Rajon Rondo will be back from his suspension. Tonight was his last game that he had to sit and watch for landing a nice left hook.
It was he earned it. It was a good, it was a nice 1-2 piece.
Yeah, he had the Rockets so shook that they're going to give up four first round picks for Jimmy God. Butler.
he lands one combo and the Rockets are racing to Minnesota to give up the Brooklyn Nets trade.
They're going to mortgage the whole future, but. No, but Rondo is going to be back for the next game, and it brings up an interesting dilemma for the Lakers because they've obviously had to kind of make some changes on the fly because of these suspensions and adjust their starting lineup. Now that Rondo is back and the way Lonzo has been playing, I mean, what would you do if you're Luke Walton? Do you go back to your original starting five? I mean, assuming once Ingram gets back, but at the point guard position specifically, do you bring Lonzo off the bench again, or do you reward him for the play that we've seen?
If you asked me at halftime, I would have said Rondo probably needs to start. if you ask me after the game, which you are, it's Lonzo. Lonzo, I mean, I don't know what else you would want Lonzo to do. I've seen a couple people saying that Lonzo hasn't really earned the spot. He's defensively, he's a massive upgrade over Rondo. And I think that's the most important thing before you even really dive into anything else is that his activity on the defensive end is something that, I mean, maybe in his prime Rondo probably brought, but right now that it's not even close. Offensively, after tonight, Lonzo is shooting 40.7% from three on five and a half attempts per game. So I really don't know what else you would need to see from Lonzo at this point if you aren't convinced now. So I think it's Lonzo. I think it's fairly comfortable. There's minutes to be had that you can bring Rondo off the bench, put some shooters around him and see how that goes, especially now that you've kind of found Jonathan Williams during this stretch. You kind of have a guy that you can run pick and rolls with the second unit. I think Rondo will probably do Jonathan Williams a lot of good. But, yeah, I think it's Lonzo. And, I mean, if it were me personally, I don't think it'd be close, just almost strictly because of the defense he brings.
Yeah, and – I mean, that's I agree 100% on the defense, the point of just him being a massive upgrade defensively, because that's what this team needs. You know, offensively, they're so good, you know, with a number of different combinations and in a number of different ways, but they need, you know, they need defense. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple. I mean, the defense hasn't been great. You know, it hasn't, I wouldn't even call it good. It's been, they got timely stops tonight, which is big, and they got enough stops against Phoenix to really kind of create some separation and then kind of ride that wave for the rest of the game. But Lonzo, like I said tonight, man, that guy, he just makes those winning plays that you love to see. I mean, there was a play he dove on the floor and immediately found a teammate, you know, after knocking the ball loose. And his hands, his activity defensively, he just causes problems for teams. He really does on the defensive end. You know, he's the guy that, you know, I every time. I think this every time the Lakers are going up against, you know, a really good perimeter player, that I'm like, stick Lonzo on him, because I love what he's able to do defensively. He's, you know, he causes a lot of problems with his size, his athletic ability, and how active he is with his hands. And I mean, for me, you almost have to ride this wave. You know, the Lakers are, they got a little momentum now. They're rolling a little bit. They got, you know, a really good win against a good Nuggets team that was 4-0 coming into tonight. And especially with the circumstances, it was the Lakers' second night of a back-to-back, and the Nuggets were off the night before. And I mean, Lonzo just made plays down the stretch that, I mean, some of them don't even show up in the stat sheet, but he just made those plays that you need guys to make in those close games. And, you know, I mean, long term, I've always envisioned, you know, I figured Rondo was going to start early on, but long term, Lonzo is your guy. And, you know, I just think you can get them both plenty of minutes, but I just think to get, you know, off to faster starts, especially defensively, you got to go with Lonzo. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Luke, even when Ingram comes back, just rides the starting five, because they've been really good. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, but I think we're both in agreement that I would keep starting Lonzo until proven otherwise, because this has been a different team with him out there, you know, just on the defensive end, pushing tempo, just, I mean, all this stuff. And it's not fair to Rondo, I guess, in a sense, because we've only seen a game and three quarters of him, basically, you know, so it's tough. But I'm a big believer in just kind of riding your hot hand, and your hot hand right now is this starting five right now. So
yeah, that wave that you mentioned, riding the wave, the last three games now, so during Rondo's suspension, with Lonzo and Hart on the court, the Lakers have a 96.5 defensive rating. I think that's the biggest thing that's different with this team from opening night, even 5 games ago. You started Rondo and KCP. We see now that KCP's in a funk. He shot a little better tonight, but defensively he struggled. He's in a funk right now, and Rondo isn't the defender he used to be. So you're already putting yourself in a big hole with two below average defenders. So I would suggest starting Lonzo and Hart, put them on the two guards. And that really changes a lot of things. Like you said, the Ingram debate is one we'll get to eventually, but right now I could make the argument just to ride the wave until this lineup proves otherwise, because this starting lineup the last three games has been incredible. But I think my biggest thing with Lonzo is, if you're not going to start him now, if not now, when? Like, yeah, this seems like the perfect time. He doesn't look like he has any rust from the injury. He looks to be fully in shape, and he's riding a high right now. So If you're not going to start him now, then you're probably not going to start him at all during the year.
And I have a hard time believing Rondo came into the situation thinking he was going to start the full year anyways. You know, I mean, maybe as a competitor, that's what he thought. But I think, you know, there's been enough quotes from him to, I think he understands he's going to be a mentor to Lonzo. He's going to, you know, be that veteran presence that helps guide some of these young guys. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it matters if you start or not with, you know, that type of role. I think the key is to understand that, like, you know, this is the Lakers' future. You know, I mean, they've got LeBron James. They've got, you know, some of these veteran guys that are playing well, like Lance Stephenson and JaVale McGee. But the future is Lonzo Ball. It's Kyle Kuzma. It's Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart. And, you know, I mean, this is just – it's going to happen sooner or later. And I think that this starting five has earned some more run. You know, I mean, if they continue to win games, you've got to keep riding that. Because this isn't – you know, as much as I think – development and progression of the young guys is important, and getting them reps is still absolutely crucial. I mean, you do have LeBron James now. Like, you, at a certain point, your number of wins is absolutely important. This isn't like the last few years where the wins didn't matter. It was just about the young guys getting better and better and better. You know, you have to shoot for that. And I mean, this has to be, you know, I mean, this has got to be a playoff team. Like, you get the best player in the world on your team. Like, you got to get into the playoffs, and you got to win games to do that. So, and I think, I mean, winning, especially for a young team, for these young guys, I think would mean a lot to them to kind of understand, you know, what it's like to be on a team that has playoff aspirations and, you know, expects to go out and win games and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I would stick with the lineup that's winning until proven otherwise. I mean, you can always make changes. It's not like you got to stick with them for, you know, you have to decide right now what's your lineup for the rest of the year. I would just ride the hot hand, and if it fizzles, then you can make changes based on that.
I guess kind of in line with that, if we're both, I mean, we're both in agreement, Rondo should come off the bench. I guess, who do you think, whose minutes should he take, do you think? Because, I mean, Svi has played more the last two games, but he looked really good tonight. And he really hasn't gotten a shot to fall. I mean, I would almost say that you start taking minutes away from KCP at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have KCP on a shorter leash, and if he doesn't have it, I mean, you probably, you know, kind of pull the reins a little bit. But I mean, you can kind of take minutes, because the Lakers are so versatile, and you've got all these different lineup combinations. You can kind of pull minutes from everybody, really. I mean, I think Luke would prefer most guys play under 30 minutes to kind of save him for the long haul. The starters all played over 30 minutes tonight. LeBron and Kuzma had 34. JaVale and Josh Hart had 31 apiece. Lonzo was 33. So I think he'd like to get those numbers down. So, I mean, there's going to be playing time available. And it's, you know, when you have a team like this with the Lakers where it's, you know, you don't have just five guys that are good, and it's like those five guys need to be on the court as much as you can. They have, you know, a number of good players. They have, you know, a pretty deep team, I think. And, you know, it's going to be a game-by-game basis, you know, in terms of who's going to get minutes. You know, if you don't have it tonight, you know, we've got another guy that we can, you know, plug in, and he'll be who we ride with that, you know, any given night. So, you know, it's – that's life in the NBA. I mean, it's going to be up and down, you know, unless you're a guy like LeBron James who plays well virtually every night. You know, especially with young players, you know, as we've seen, you know, progress isn't always linear. You know, there's especially, I mean, really with young players, there's going to be those games where they just might not have it. It looked like Lonzo was going to have one of those games today, but he kind of snapped out of it in the second half and played fantastic basketball and ultimately helped this team get a win, a big win, you know, against a very good team. So
I think having, I mean, I think we talked about this coming into the year, but having this much depth kind of keeps guys on their toes. Because, like you've kind of said, winning is the most important thing at this point. We went through, what, 4 or 5 years where development was the most important thing? We're past that at this point. It's whoever the five best guys are that night or who should be playing at this point.
Well, And Luke Walton is in a position now that he has LeBron James. You know, he's going to, at a certain point, he's going to be judged by wins and losses. You know, I'm always a believer in context is important with everything, you know, especially with the game of basketball. But, you know, at a certain point, coaches do get judged pretty heavily on wins and losses. And if this team plays really well every game, but they start losing because they can't finish games or whatever, I mean, ultimately that's going to fall on him at the end of the day. So, you know, he's going to do what is best for this team to win games, or, you know, what he thinks is best, at least. Sometimes, you know, coaches aren't perfect, and Luke certainly isn't perfect, but I think he's done a good job. The three losses that they have were against good teams, and they were very competitive. So, you know, people might look at the Lakers record and say 2-3, like, that's not great, but I feel like this team is better than what their record shows right now. And that's surprising to me considering the circumstances, with suspensions to two of their, you know, main rotation players, really two starters at the time, plus a lot of roster turnover, incorporating, you know, a superstar like LeBron James. And I mean, the circumstances have been kind of wild, and I think they've been better than I expected them to be so far. So hopefully they can start to string together some wins and really build some momentum and kind of carry it throughout the season. So
I would have taken 2-5 or 2-3 through the first five games. Told me at the start of the year.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly really just thrilled right now with just how they played the last two nights, you know, because I kind of kept thinking that it's not about this team being 0-3. It's how they respond to being 0-3. And you couldn't have asked for a better response. I mean, a blowout win against a team that they should have beaten. They took care of business. And then they beat a team that was 4-0 and a team that, you know, looks really good this year. And a team that has a lot of guys that have been together for a few years now and has that roster continuity. And, you know, they executed down the stretch and got the job done. So
they shot 50% with three turnovers in the second half against a defense that I think was number two coming into – it was either number one or number two coming into the night. So,
yeah, the Nuggets – I mean, Nuggets were really good offensively and defensively. And I would expect that to continue, although it's the defense thing was kind of surprising because the last few years they haven't been good defensively. They just tried to outscore teams. But I mean, the Lakers in the last, 6 minutes and change, I mean, they scored 23 points, you know, so they found ways to get buckets, and it was a thing of beauty.
There was a lot of encouraging signs, and it's a lot more fun to look at those encouraging signs after a win instead of after a loss those first three games. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that makes me believe this team is closer to kind of figuring out than I thought they would be at this point. And it's a credit to our young guys right now that are playing with LeBron.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the schedule starts to lighten up a little bit. Let's talk briefly about the next game on the schedule. It's going to be Saturday night at 5:30 Pacific time. The Lakers travel to San Antonio to take on the Spurs for the second time already this season. And the first time they played them was a crushing loss. I mean, really, the Lakers should probably be 3-2 at this point. You know, if LeBron makes a couple of free throws there down the stretch, and I mean, they probably win that game, but didn't happen. What are you looking forward to in this game? I mean, besides obviously who starts at point guard, but what are you looking for as far as the Lakers' response to playing the Spurs the first time?
I mean, a big thing would be a better start. That was huge problem when they played the Spurs the last time, is the Spurs just like shot out of the gate. Kind of a more detailed thing would be, to start better. We've kind of talked about it, just the response to winning. This is another road game. I think it's the start of kind of a road swing a little bit. Three of the next four on the road. It's a lot, like we just said, there's been encouraging signs even during the first three games that we lost, but it's a lot easier to build on those things after a win. So just kind of keeping the winning going. Winning solves a lot of things. So just kind of keeping that going and coming out and starting fast, getting up on them early. And I guess another thing is don't let LaMarcus Aldridge draw 47 shooting fouls.
Yeah, no, that's the thing I'm looking forward to, is how the Lakers defend LaMarcus Aldridge, because he was a problem the first time. Really didn't have much of an answer for him. And also, please, for the love of God, cover Patty Mills. Like, I am sick and tired of Patty Mills getting open and hitting shots against the Lakers. But yeah, I mean, that's my big thing, is like, how are they going to adjust defensively? Because like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge was almost just impossible for them to stop in the first game. And I mean, the Lakers basically just tried to try and outscore them, and they almost did. I mean, score 142 points and lose. I mean, you don't get to see
143, 142 is absurd.
Yeah. So, and this is a big one because, I mean, they play at Minnesota on Monday, and then they play the Mavericks at home on Wednesday. So, I mean, of the next three, this is definitely the toughest one. Hopefully the Rockets, or maybe not the Rockets, I don't even care. Miami, I don't care. Minnesota, trade Jimmy Butler before Monday. That's all I'm asking.
Listen, yeah. If they're actually offering you four first-round draft picks, like, why haven't you accepted yet?
For a guy that has basically told you, like, I don't want to be here. I'm not staying past this year.
The only difference between him and Eric Bledsoe is Eric Bledsoe just tweeted, I don't want to be here. Jimmy Butler just straight up walked into practice and said, in much more vulgar language, I don't want to be here. These guys are trash. And for some reason, Tibbs thought that was a good thing. But yeah. Just trade him. Just trade him before Monday. It's no big deal. Let us have one.
It's gonna be the Luol Deng revenge game.
I forgot he was on. Yeah. I don't think it'll be that.
All right. Well, that's gonna do it for us this time. Like I said, Lakers, big win tonight. I wanna call this their first signature win with this group. First win against a really good team that they're probably going to be battling with in the Western Conference. Maybe in the standings, we'll see, hopefully. It was great win, a lot of fun in the fourth quarter there. And again, a reminder, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe to Lakers Outsiders on YouTube, iTunes, and Podbean. And if you'd like to make suggestions on what the person with the worst record tweeting Laker games for Lakers Outsiders. If you want to suggest a punishment for the person with the worst record, leave it in an iTunes review and we will definitely take note of it. And as always, you can find all of our content on LakersOutsiders.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and you can like us on Facebook. So make sure you go do all that stuff so you're always up to date. Jacob, this was fun. Hopefully we get to talk about a lot more wins in the future. Fingers crossed. Until Saturday against the Spurs, for Jacob Rude, this is Gary Kester signing off.